So from dead babies to old men. Am I allowed to say 100 years is old? Well, I don't think Dr. Max Day will mind. He was a CSIRO chief, an expert on insects and a lover of trees. I found him in a nursing home in Canberra, preparing to ignore his 100th birthday, coming up on the 21st of December. Is it the case that you published your last paper in 2012?
Co-authored, yes.
Yeah, that's modest. That's a paper nonetheless. What was it about? Was it not about the moth that is involved, at least its caterpillars involved in making all those wonderful patterns on the certain gum trees?
Yeah, those are the patterns.
I think they're familiar to every Australian.
Aren't they, yes.
And how are they formed?
The eggs are laid on the bark, caterpillar bores in, and then just goes around making scribbles. Graptus, it's called. Ogma meaning ugly, and graptus is obvious.
What does the moth look like?
Small, nondescript, brownish. Not an impressive little moth.
You claim not to remember very much, but do you remember the name Frank Fenner?
Oh, of course. Our birthdays were on the same day. He was 1 year older than I, but we were very close friends.
He was a professor in the Australian National University for over 50 years.
Was it 50 years?
Mm. And did he call you one day about rabbits?
Well, I was concerned with rabbit numbers, and particularly what they were doing to the countryside, and we talked about ways of handling the rabbit problem, as it was called.
Using what?
At that stage, myxomatosis. It was a big part of my career at that stage.
And Frank Fenner, being a microbiologist, was looking after the viral part, and you were looking after the vector.
Yes, mosquito.
And you thought that the mosquito could carry the myxomatosis?
Yes.
And it worked, did it not?
Well, myxomatosis was transmitted from one rabbit to another. That was the obvious vector.
But we've still got plenty of rabbits. In fact, I saw them when I was down the south coast in a neighbour's garden running around.
They're numbers, but I've always believed in cycles of numbers. And the rabbit numbers are nothing like they were. I have a photograph somewhere of rabbits around a pond drinking, and they are touching one another, trying to get water. The numbers were truly astronomical. It was only when Myxo was brought in did the numbers brought down to a reasonable level.
Now, Max, you've been a fellow of the Australian Academy of Science for many, many years. Do you remember when it was established by the Prime Minister?
I remember there's this piece of rock, which was the old Melbourne telescope base. This was being put into place, and he was a good showman. He turned around, tapped it with the back of his trowel and said, "I was about to say, let this stone be well and truly placed, but I've put it a little off centre."
And this was the Prime Minister, Robert Menzies, was it?
Yes. He was always a very apt phrase.
So he just missed the position.
With 100 metres to go.
Tell me about your life in science. Why did you enjoy it so much, and assuming you did?
Oh, it's always something new. It's an exciting field to be in. I was fortunate. Originally entomology, forestry only later in life. In fact, there was no division of forestry when I started.
So what did you study when you began?
Insects. I was always an entomologist, and there are so many of them. It's a field which goes on forever.
And always something new to look at.
Yes, indeed.
Can you remember some of the highlights?
This little grasshopper, unique amongst the grasshoppers of the world, is black at night, crawls up a rock, turns around, gets the sun on it, and turns blue, literally. It takes time, but it is a very spectacular change. And no other grasshopper anywhere in the world does that.
I wonder why it does it.
I'd love to know. It's obviously black absorbing the sun, but what the advantage is in turning blue, the grasshopper never managed to tell me.
Interesting, yes. Crypsis is the usual answer, that they're trying to hide somewhere. Or else the opposite, and that's display.
This is actually absorbing sun in order to become active. It only becomes active after it's got warm enough, actually. Mm.
Just like lizards do. I was watching a blue-tongued lizard last weekend, sitting out in the sun, gradually getting warmer.
But it doesn't have that colour change that the grasshoppers...
No, indeed. What do you do these days, now you're nearly 100?
Wish I was younger. Relatively little that I can do now, unfortunately.
Do you read?
Oh, yes.
And you've got a paper there. What does that say? A new extant family of primitive moths from Kangaroo Island, Australia, and its significance for understanding early Lepidoptera evolution.
Kangaroo Island is a very interesting place. It's got lots of unique organisms on it, and it's not so far from the coast. So to me, it's a surprise that they're so different. To have a whole family of primitive moths is pretty unusual.
Did you have anything to do with that study?
No, only that I admired it.
So you keep up with the literature still?
Only when it's thrust in front of me.
I can imagine that, yes.
I'm old enough now not to be able to jump around and do nearly as much as I'd like.
Would you have any advice for a young person, say, in their late teens, early 20s, thinking of setting out on a life in science in Australia? What would you tell them?
Oh, go for it. The world's still the oyster. There is still everything to do. Australia is an unusual part of the world. Practically everything you look at is worth doing, hasn't been done, and to a biologist, exciting.
How will you celebrate your birthday?
Try to forget it.
Oh, come on, you're going to do better than that.
No, the family want to think it's important. I don't think it's important at all. It's just a day that's going to come and go.
Do they get telegrams these days from the Queen?
Not if you can avoid it.
Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you.
Dr. Max Day, who will turn 100 on the 21st of December, a former chief of the CSIRO Forestry Division. I talked to him at his nursing home in Canberra. 1, 2, 3.